Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about God haters. You might say, well, how does that correlate with the election, what we're doing, what is taking place with this election process, the fraudulent election that we're presently going through? It has a lot to do with it, ladies and gentlemen, because if Joe Biden goes in office, it's going to eviscerate, destroy anything that's called the Bill of Rights, and most especially our First and Second Amendment, the religious liberties in the First Amendment and the right to keep and bear arms in our Second Amendment. We have today with us on this broadcast one of our 4 sons, Greg. Greg happens to be reigning from Tennessee. Greg, what's the temperature up there today?
Oh, my goodness. It's 44 degrees right now, and it's actually raining. But for the past week, it's been beautiful. I've been inviting folks online, come to Tennessee, because freedom still lives here. If you live in a blue state, if you live in a blue city, you know what I'm talking about. You don't have freedom. Right now, I can walk in just about any business or any restaurant or any church, and I can worship, or I can eat, or I can do business. And that's not the case in most of your blue cities and blue states. So freedom still lives in Tennessee.
You're exactly right, and that's one of the things that I'm frightened of, and it is another indicator of a Joe Biden administration. If that were to come about, it would simply, I believe, if Joe Biden is sworn into office, it would be a clear, can I repeat that, clear indication of God's judging America because we've turned our backs on God. In fact, Greg, I'm looking at an article that says secular Democrats, when you use the term secular Democrats, you mean the anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-church, anti-Christian Democrats urge Biden to pounce on U.S. Christianity. Listen to this, and I want our listeners to understand, Greg, the profound nature of what I'm about to say. A Democrat political action committee representing secular values issued a sweeping agenda for Joe Biden to reverse many of President Trump's advances for religious liberty and freedoms and restore a vision of constitutional secularism. Further in the article, it would ban religious organizations from participating in government programs, support governors who want to close down churches amid the COVID pandemic. It will require new disclosures from all churches, overturn religious rights precedents such as the Hobby Lobby case, prevent mention of anything of creationism in any educational program, and work for the de-radicalization of white nationalism in America. The document declared, quote, "The rise of white nationalism is a national security threat to all America," end quote. Now, I don't know if I've read anything any more horrific than this 28-page document that calls on Joe Biden, when sworn into office, to basically listen, Greg, and to our listeners. I believe this document is a call to crush the church in the United States of America, and it's because of a visceral hatred for God, a hatred for the church, a hatred for Christians, a hatred for the cross, a hatred for the name of Jesus Christ. And I believe that, Greg, if Joe Biden goes into office, this will be the beginning of the end of religious liberty in the United States of America. It will be the absolute forerunner of the absolute persecution and prosecution that we can read about in the history, i.e. in the Bible, in relationship to the first century church, that once again will be the norm for the United States of America if Joe Biden is sworn into office. How do you respond to such a document?
On my birth date, not the year, but October 11th, 1798, John Adams, speaking to the Massachusetts militia, said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." And if you wondered why the left hates the Constitution so much, why they consider it an obstruction to their will, that's why. We're dealing with the left. You're a Democrat, you're socialist, you're a communist in America, hate God. And they hate our Constitution because they hate God, because it was moral and religious people that founded this system, this experiment, and this new Republican form of government. And somehow or another, every step of the way, they're willing to swear an oath to support, protect, and defend something that they consider themselves completely adverse to. You know, William Penn said, "Men must be governed by God or they will be ruled by tyrants." We have a culture that is abandoning God. So guess what the only other alternative logically is, what William Penn so clearly articulated? We'll be ruled by tyrants. And it's sad because, you know, we're not going to be ruled by tyrants because 80 million people voted for a tyrant. We'll be ruled by tyrants because of the corruption. We'll be ruled by tyrants also because of the judgment of God. When you turn your back on God, there will be a price to be paid individually and collectively. Israel tried this experiment over and over and over and over and over and over. They found themselves in judgment. I mean, hundreds of years, over the course of thousands of years, they spent more time, I think, being corrected than they did enjoying the fruits of obedience. And, I mean, it's incredible to see the cycle of governments and how this is not new. This is historical, and it's gone on over and over and over. But we are at the end of the cycles, because today, you look back in a couple of decades of history in the United Nations, they have votes on a regular basis in which the United States is one of one or two holdout votes where they say no. Most of the time, or many times, it's the United States and Israel. They're the only ones that say no. What happens when the United States doesn't exercise their veto? What happens when the United States doesn't say no? What happens? Well,
we go into a full-fledged global governance and a dictatorship. It's called the Antichrist.
I've read the back of the book, and folks, this is the setup for a one-world government system. If it falls under the UN or the EU or whatever body, it's inconsequential. When the governments get together and say, this is what we want to do, and now if you want to do anything, you have to ask this international body. Or they formulate the rules dealing with buying and selling. I mean, they're already talking about the formulation of rules dealing with this COVID-19 Wuhan flu thing, so you can't travel unless you've got your card that says you've been inoculated. Or you have this card, you know, indicating that you're good to fly. What's the difference between that and the mark? What is the difference? Literally, it's the setup for it. The real difference is only in technicalities and the actual final placement of a mark. I think it's going to be biometric. I really believe it will. Many are convinced it'll still be a tattoo, a mark, or an implant, or whatever. Regardless, we're right on the cusp. Because the technology has grown to such a point, to such a degree, the Antichrist will seem as though he is, as God, being able to see everything and know everything and control everything. And that's the kind of power that is identified as being the Antichrist power.
Yeah, you're right. And as you know, Greg, when the Antichrist steps on the scene, he will come riding a white horse, and he will be carrying a bow but no arrows, indicating he comes in peace, And I believe when the Antichrist steps on the scene, he will be viewed as the savior of the world, and thus all of the nation's governing bodies will surrender their authority to him. Daniel says, Daniel 7 and 8, that this is what will take place, that the authority of the governing bodies will be surrendered to the Antichrist. So he'll come in as the savior of the people, and it will bring about that one world governance as a result of that, but it'd be under a total dictatorship governance. And we're seeing the tip of the iceberg today, I believe, Greg. And for our listeners, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Be delighted to take your call. You can call in. That telephone call goes directly through to the studios right there, microphones, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue. Greg, I'm looking at an article that says Mississippi. We're talking about the state of Mississippi. This is another indication of the God haters that we see that's networking across America, and it's being brought about. The catalyst that's bringing this to the forefront, Greg, is nothing other than the Wuhan, China flu virus that is being the catalyst or the weaponization of that to bring about this dictatorship modality. It says, this article says, Mississippi police threaten to punish Christmas cheer. If you host a Christmas party in Aberdeen, Mississippi, you could wind up on the police department's naughty list, or even worse. The Aberdeen Police Department announced in a shocking Facebook post that they will enforce a mandate from the governor's office regarding China virus rules and regulations. Quote, if you schedule events, please start making provisions to cancel them if they're going to be on the inside, the police department announced. Please don't try to figure out how to get around it, because the fine will take the majority of your profits. Starting Monday, our curfew goes into effect. That should make it a bit difficult for Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. And whatever you do, don't give the cops a bad attitude. Cussing, by the way, is also a no-no. Attitudes and cussing will be given a citation for disorderly conduct and possibly a vehicle being towed, so heed the warning that we're giving to you, end quote. Oh, and be forewarned about the number of folks hunkered around your Yuletide log. As far as Christmas parties go, pop-up shops, game shows, social gatherings that exceed 10 will be written up with tickets. We ask that you follow the mandate closely. The police department wrote on its Facebook page. They say rules will be enforced so we will have financial penalties. Anyone who fails to pay 100% of their fines will be served with a warrant and arrested. The brown shirts in the police department also warned citizens not to complain to the mayor or the city council. Quote, don't call the mayor. Don't call the city council, ladies. They can't help you. We just want a safe and productive city. We appreciate everything you can do to help us in this matter, they wrote. This is a total disgrace, this one writer says here. Total disgrace, this is happening in Mississippi. One irate citizen wrote, I'm pro-police. I back the blue until you overstep your boundaries, and this post is blatantly tyrannical. If you want citizens' support, I'd suggest more professionalism and knowledge of the law and our Constitution. Footnote says it sounds like 1984 come true. That was written by George Orwell, of course. Complete abuse of power, wrote another resident of Mississippi. Greg, that's just a little tip of the iceberg of the whole sheaf of documents that I have that point out the fact that what we're looking at is the further tightening of the rules and the regulations, the guidelines on our citizens. We were told before Thanksgiving how many people you can have in your home. Grandma has to stay at home. If grandma rides by in a car, you can open the window and open the door and toss a turkey leg to her, but she can't come in your house. And now they're saying the same thing for Christmas, that you can't have people in your home for Christmas. Is that an indication, Greg, of a hatred for God?
A hatred for Christians, a hatred for anything decent, moral, and right. You know, for decades, I've seen the growth of government. And sometimes folks like me have been thought insane because we think government has gotten way too big, that government has way too many rules, way too many tentacles. Well, today, folks, guess what? You're seeing that that's absolutely right. Who are they preferring and who are they not preferring? It's the casinos and such in Vegas are preferred, but the churches are not. Hollywood liberals and actors, the Screen Actors Guild, they're preferred, but little mom and pop restaurants are not. Amazon and Walmart are preferred, but again, your mom and pop shop is not. Now, your moms and pops, they know what it takes to open a business and make payroll, pay their insurance, or pay their, you know, themselves. And they're not big enough and connected enough many times to make that phone call to the governor or to the president or to the mayor. The ones that are connected are the ones, your big box stores, where they have hundreds of billions of dollars flowing. And every politician has got the little bit of that apple. And so those individuals are not being harmed. They're actually being helped by the crisis that's created by government, not by COVID.
Absolutely.
When two one-hundredths of 1% of the people under the age 64 are dying with this thing, this is not the pandemic that they claimed that it was. And that's based on exaggerated numbers, because they're saying folks that get involved in a car accident and they die, but they also happen to have COVID, they died of COVID. You know, they got 14 gunshot wounds in the chest because they're on the south side of Chicago in a gangbang war, but they also have COVID, therefore they died of COVID, not the 14 gunshot wounds to the chest. Understand how ridiculous all of this is, but you could have seen it coming 100 years ago because of the steady growth in government. And anyone that's against that is against a liberal ideology and what they call a progressive ideology. The progress means control, folks. We saw this in 1776, and we fled that tyrant. We sought to unburden ourselves of that tyrant, and now the tyranny has emerged as a bureaucracy and not in the form of a single king. So we're just reliving that which our founding fathers lived up until 1776, the years that followed in the Revolution.
It's a total replay of what we're seeing. Greg, hang in there for a moment. I believe we have a call on the line. Bob, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes. In my opinion, I think now is when the end will begin to end, and that's with the introduction of this vaccine. I think that Christians won't take the vaccine, and I think that the other people will start to panic when they realize that there's people running around that aren't going to take the vaccine, and they're going to affect everybody else, and the world opinion against people that won't take the vaccine will start to grow, and you'll see people like Christians and conservatives start to be separated from the rest of the world, and this is when it starts to end.
Brother, I believe you're exactly right. You're on target with the insight and with the thoughts behind that. I believe that you're exactly correct as far as what you're pointing to. Over half of the fire department in New York City, the firemen, New York City Fire Department, over half have already said they will not take the vaccination. According to the George Barner survey on it, approximately 52 to 55% of Americans say that they will not take the vaccination. And we're referred to as the anti-vaxxers, according to Dr. Tony Fauci, the guru that's got all of the answers, that vacillates and flip-flops every 30 days on his this science factor. Greg, what do you say in response to our caller statement?
Well, on the vaccination front, you know, we've never had a vaccination in such rapid delivery as this, never in the history of humanity, and that makes some people very cheerful, jovial, and others fearful, because we don't know that 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, that we may discover, as folks in Africa and India have discovered with some of the vaccines purportedly supported by or pushed by Bill Gates, that maybe there's an infertility that comes along with that, or that there's a rebound effect that vaccine combined with a change, a mutation in the current virus would cause an accelerated or dramatically higher level of response to the to our condition. Here's my concern. You know, moving forward, it's both political as well as physical. If we do first responders first when it comes to the vaccine and everything works great, great. But what happens if there's a consequence that we've not foreseen? 3 months from now, 6 months from now, devastating consequences. Now we've harmed the folks that we rely upon a lot. And the political. Let's say that Biden actually goes into office on January 20. If this vaccine goes very well, he will take all the credit for it. And he's already attempting to, saying, hey, in the first 100 days, he's going to vaccinate, you know, 100 million people and this and that. You know, before he's entered office, he's trying to say, this is something I've done. But if it goes sideways, and it may, if it goes sideways, guess what the allegation will be? Look what Trump did to us. Look what Donald Trump, you know, these companies like Pfizer that held off the good news until after the election, that they have a 95% effective or efficacious product. You know, they held off the news of that, even though they knew about it before the election. They held off until after the election because they don't want to benefit Trump. And they step out and say, hey, we didn't get any benefit from this warp speed program. Oh, they didn't get any benefit? Really? $2 billion in pre-orders, no benefit? You know, come on, folks. We kind of see, again, both the political as well as the real-life practical, you know, how could this help or harm?
If I could jump in for our listeners to understand, one of the things that they're just now saying as a result of the Pfizer vaccination taking place in the UK already having been in operation, they are warning now, finally the CDC and the National Institute of Health are now saying that if you're pregnant or if you ever intend to become pregnant, don't take the vaccination. What are they saying? It will bring about sterility. It will do exactly what the Bill and Melinda Gates vaccination did in many parts of Africa and all of India with the polio vaccination that caused all the females that took it to be sterile. It paralyzed multitudes. It killed millions of people. And they're also saying, the warning is, if you have any asthma or any bronchial illnesses or latent problems with your lungs, do not take the vaccination. They've already discovered, based on their trials, that this causes major problems and can cause death. Bill Gates himself, back in August or September with the CNN News interview, he said that this vaccination could, in fact, kill between 750,000 and a million people. But he smiled and said, what is that in comparison to the millions of people that will be able to help? But, Greg, one of the things, and it was touched on in the juxtaposition of the conversation that we had a moment ago about the churches and the closure and the cause and effect and where the COVID or the Wuhan China virus. I'm looking at an article that says, while California, New York, and other states have gone off the deep end of coronavirus restrictions, Virginia Governor Ralph Northam has been unusually quiet. That changed Thursday when the radical leader broke his silence with a slew of new rules, and like other liberal leaders, he didn't mind shaming churches in the process. This is a holy time. This is a holy time, he said, for multiple faith traditions, Northam said to the press conference on Thursday. But this year, we need to think about what is truly the most important thing. Is it worship or building? For me, God is wherever you are. You don't have to sit in the church or the pew for God to hear your prayers, Northam said. Worship with a mask on is still worship. Worship outside is still worship. Worship online is still worship. Worship at home is still worship, he goes on. Goes further in this article. He says he didn't mind shaming churchgoers all the same. Quite frankly, he said, listen, we know that a lot of the spread is coming from the churches because these individuals that are in the places of worship and contract the virus then go out to their places of work, to their grocery stores, to Walmart, and to other big box stores and these convenience stores. Otherwise, that's how the virus spreads. No one knows quite how Northam, that is, arrived at his conclusion, since most of the contact tracing, at least, is overwhelmed by cities like El Paso that led back to big box stores like Walmart and Costco. If anything, churches have been some of the safest places on earth. And yet the governor is now locking down Virginia again, and especially locking down the churches. And I call it God hate. It's a simple hatred for Christ, hatred for the church, hatred for the cross, hatred for Christians, hatred for church, for pastors. It is egregious to see that taking place. I'm looking, Greg, at another article. Governor, Christians don't need to be in churches. The Democratic governor, Ralph Northam, told Virginians Thursday they didn't need to be in church or a house of God for God to hear your prayers. And he goes on to talk about it. He says, for me, God is wherever you are. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a hatred for God and a hatred for the church. And for a secular leader to take the position that is going to intervene and tell churches and Christians how to practice their Christianity and what church theology ought to be like is egregious. Greg, that's one of the great indicators of the hatred for God. I also looked at an article just this morning where a homeowners association is taking a man to task because he has a cross on his front lawn with Christmas lights around it. And the cross, of course, representing Christ's death. And we're celebrating the birth of Christ in Christmas. It's still about Jesus. And they've said the cross has got to come down because the homeowners association will not allow it. It's all, I believe, a trend of showing the hatred for God, a hatred for the church. And as one of our callers talked about the vaccine, I believe it will be very similar to what he stated, that it will be as a result of non-vaxxers that refuse to be vaccinated, and that will be many, if not most, of the Christians that say, we'll not take the shot in the arm, and as a result of that, we'll be looked at and demeaned and further eviscerated and hated as the world hates the Christian and hates the church already. Greg, we've got about a minute and a half on the broadcast. Wrap up the thought with what we see taking place, the big picture, and boil it down to what we're talking about with the God haters, and then how should we respond as Christians and as conservatives today?
Well, you stated it very well out of the scripture, Jesus' own words, that when they hate you, know that they hated me first. This is nothing new. This is nothing unusual. But when we get the 40,000-foot view, if you will, we see that it is a spiritual battle. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. We understand that that's real, and it's alive today as much as it has ever been. And sometimes you find it on these borders. I've placed on my Facebook page a electoral map where the red counties, the Republican counties are that voted for Trump are in red, and the blue counties, those that voted for Biden, are in blue. And I said, freedom is still alive. You just can't get it in blue. So we're kind of there. We're watching this play out. We're seeing it play out on the border of Tennessee and Virginia, where Bristol, on one side of the street, has a modicum of freedom because it's in Tennessee. On the Virginia side, it's a substantial clampdown because leftists control it. And as much as, you know, folks oftentimes don't see the battle is real. And in Virginia, Ralph Northam, just like Joe Biden's committed the first 100 days, they'll push his leftist agenda. So also Ralph Northam has legislation pending now that will open the door with the like the Equality Act in Virginia and absolutely crush churches and schools that stand on Christian principles.
So we can look up, we can conclude the thought by simply saying to everyone, look up, lift up your head, for our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
21 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.